Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. The president of the Providence chapter of the NAACP says he was saddened but not entirely shocked by the George Zimmerman verdict. The Florida Neighborhood Watch volunteer was acquitted over the weekend in the killing of Trayvon Martin, an unarmed black teenager. As Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick reports, the NAACP is calling on the Justice Department to investigate Zimmerman for possible civil rights violations.
Jim Vincent, president of the Providence chapter of the NAACP, struggled to come to terms with the Zimmerman verdict Sunday as he headed to Orlando, Florida for the group's annual meeting.
They obviously believed Zimmerman's testimony, even though there was many, many contradictions, too many to count. But they, at the end of the day, I guess, believed him and felt that he was defending himself and that it was okay to murder this unarmed teenager.
Vincent says African-American parents now have to explain to their youngsters that they can be killed at any time just for being black.
There's a lot of people worried about their kids now, whether or not they're going to be a victim of a homicide because they look suspicious or people were afraid of them because they were black or what have you. And that's a lot of people in this country.
Vincent predicts Zimmerman will go on to profit from the case through books and speaking tours. It's just not right, Vincent said. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Rhode Island's Board of Education is scheduled to vote today to confirm a new interim commissioner of higher education. The governor's pick for the post is the current Education Board Chair, Eva Marie Mancuso. If confirmed, she will leave her position as chair of the board, leaving a vacancy to be filled. Mancuso, who is an attorney, says she expects to take a break from her law practice and serve as interim commissioner full-time for anywhere from 18 months to 2 years. The post comes with a $200,000-a-year salary. A groundbreaking will be held today on the Providence Viaduct Replacement Project. The viaduct is a bridge that carries Interstate 95 through the heart of downtown Providence. With over 220,000 vehicles crossing daily, it's one of the most heavily trafficked stretches of 95 on the East Coast. State Transportation Director Michael Lewis says it's reached the end of its service life.
The condition of the structure is significantly deteriorated, or the concrete deck needs to be completely replaced. And more importantly, the steel structure is fracturing. And we've been putting temporary repairs in over the last number of years to keep it operating.
The plan calls for a third bridge to be built between southbound lanes of Route 95 and the off-ramp for downtown Providence. State transportation officials say traffic will be minimally impacted by the project. And cyclists, take note. Officials on Aquidneck Island are slated to release details today on a new bikeway connecting Easton's Beach in Newport to the new Saconnet River Bridge. The Newport Daily News reports the bikeway will use mainly existing roads and span about 18 miles. It's seen as a safer way to cross Aquidneck Island, where cycling accidents have become a problem. Plans are also in the works for a shoreline bikeway on an old train corridor, but that project could take 15 years to complete at a cost of $24 million.
As if our state was a broken record, the CNBC cable channel has replayed an old song. Rhode Island's a terrible place to start or grow a business. This year, our state's overall rating on the channel best known for stock picker James Cramer's bellowing is 49 out of 50. Last year, CNBC's top states for business list had us at 50th, the very bottom of the barrel. In Rhode Island, a small state with a big chip on its shoulder, these rankings every year get outsized attention from the media and the business and political communities. The ratings play into Rhode Island's self-lacerating inferiority complex. Yet a peer beneath the veneer of the latest CNBC ratings makes one wonder how much attention should be paid to this and the rankings of other think tanks. The top states for business this year are South Dakota, Texas, North Dakota, Nebraska, and Utah. These states have very little in common with Rhode Island or any other New England state. Wonder why Texas has a lower unemployment rate than Rhode Island? Well, when New Englanders are paying $4 a gallon, a state with large deposits of gas and oil is obviously going to prosper. The same applies to the fracking-friendly Dakotas. Rhode Island's a watery sliver of a state with rocky soil, hardly large enough to be a county anywhere west of the Berkshires. We've never had large extractive mineral or oil resources. Since the 17th century, we've made our livings by our wits, beginning with clipper ships and becoming the birthplace of the American Industrial Revolution. What the top five states in the CNBC ratings share is an aversion to organized labor. All of them are so-called right-to-work states that make it very difficult for workers to organize for collective bargaining rights. With the New England tradition of worker fairness and decent public services, none of the six states in our region will ever finish atop such rankings. If the main metrics of being a business-friendly state is one where management holds all the cards, Rhode Island will never rise to the top. Another category used by CNBC is the existential one called quality of life, where Rhode Island ranks 20th out of the 50 states. Okay, so do you really want to live in Texas, a sprawling summer sauna bath of a place where guys over the age of 12 think it's perfectly normal to dress in cowboy boots and Stetsons, not to mention all those Dallas Cowboy fans? And do you really know any smart young person who doesn't plan a career in the National Hockey League who would turn down an acceptance from Brown University or Providence College to attend the University of North Dakota? So let's admit we can't put oil under the ground, can't get rid of winters, and can't get utility rates as low as that socialist creation, the Tennessee Valley Authority. And let's say we don't want to become a right-to-work-for-less state. Instead of kvetching and birthing another study that will be ignored, Rhode Island lawmakers can make some changes that will boost the economy in our recession-slowed state. Invest in education, which we have not done as well as neighbors Connecticut and Massachusetts. We should be asking why in-state tuition at UConn and UMass is so much lower than at URI. Our lawmakers could also streamline the regulatory burdens on business so long as they don't threaten environmental quality. We need to make smart investments in infrastructure, and we need to pursue cheap, environmentally sound energy sources, particularly Canadian hydropower. The Smith Hill crowd could also stop doing stupid things, like the 38 Studios deal, and making tax policy in the middle of the night. Was it really smart to cut alcohol taxes but not corporate taxes? It's sad that our lawmakers, the media, and the business community don't get as upset over the well-being of our children as they do about a cable news channel survey. The latest data from Kids Count, the child advocacy organization, ranks Rhode Island 26th of the 50 states in overall child well-being. The top three states in this study are our New England neighbors, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Massachusetts. Texas is 42nd. The other thing we can do is lighten up on the Rhode Island navel gazing. The media in Massachusetts barely mentions these rankings. The Boston Globe pretty much ignores such thin gruel. And remember the famous words of Mark Twain, "Figures don't lie, but liars figure."